Okay, I'll be talking about characterization of the USDA germplasm collections for cucurbit species. This is part of the CUCAP project, which is a collaborative project of 21 research groups funded by SCRI. So CUCAP was a response to a call to advance understanding of the genomics of the cucurbitaceae family and their application to practical breeding programs. And as this audience probably knows, the primary cucurbit crops in the U.S. are watermelon, melon, cucumber, and an assortment of squashes and pumpkins. And they're shown here in descending economic importance, so watermelon is the most economically important crop in the U.S. Despite the fact that we were dealing with so many crops, when we surveyed cucurbit growers, shippers, and processors, regardless of the crop that they were affiliated with, they consistently identified resistance to diseases as their highest priority for crop improvement. Because of that, we have three primary objectives for the CUCAP project. The first is to develop genomic and bioinformatic breeding toolkits for accelerated crop improvement, use these tools to facilitate efficient integration of disease resistance into commercially valuable cucurbit cultivars, and perform economic impact analysis of cost of production and disease control, and provide readily accessible information to facilitate disease control. But I'm only going to talk about the first objective here. So when we're talking about what are we thinking in terms of genomic and bioinformatic breeding toolkits, this includes both development of sequence and phenotype databases and bioinformatic tools that we then provide access via the Cucurbit Genomics website, as well as performing genotyping by sequencing analysis of the full PI collections for the four species. All of this work is facilitated by the fact that we have draft genomes for each of the four major species in the past decade. So the first one to become available was cucumber in 2009. That was done by a Chinese group for Chinese long 9930. A second cucumber draft genome was done by Yishun Wang's group in Wisconsin. That was for the American pickling type GY14. Following cucumber, we had melon or Cucumis melo in 2012, watermelon Citrullus lanatus in 2013, and most recently, squash Cucurbita pipo this past year. So our objectives then were to perform GBS analysis of the four species for the entire USDA PI collections. The intent is to assess diversity and ultimately provide a community resource for genome-wide association studies, or GWAS. We all know that germplasm collections are a critical resource. They conserve biological diversity, and they provide a source of valuable characteristics for plant breeders, such as disease resistance. So we see in the picture here examples of some of the diversity present within the cucumber germplasm that we observed when we were screening the germplasm for resistance to Phytophthora capsicae. Through molecular genetic characterization, then, we want to evaluate the extent of and nature of the variation that exists within the collections with the intent to provide assistance for management and preservation of diversity, as well as facilitating breeding efforts. So each of these collections has between 1,000 and 2,000 PIs or accessions within the collections. And so the CUCAP project has a team for each of these species. And what was done is each team requested the seed from the curators of the various crops. That seed was planted. Leaf samples were collected. The leaf samples were then sent to our lab at Michigan State. We produced DNA and did quality checks for that. The DNA was then sent to Cornell for genotyping by sequencing. And then the raw sequence data was analyzed by the bioinformatics team led by Zhejun Fei at the Boyce Thompson Institute. And so from this, then, we were able, in addition to the establishment of the DNA sequence data, their team also developed a revamped cucurbit genomics website that became available last year. So as I mentioned, each of the collections has between 1,000 and 2,000 accessions. From that, from the GBS data from each of those accessions, we obtained between 1 million and 2 million billion reads per species, leading to SNP tags of calling from about 50,000 to 100,000 per species. And then that was further refined to those that for which we had data for at least 50% of the accessions within the species, and a minor allele frequency of at least 0.01, leading to 25 to 50,000 SNPs per species, with an average density of one SNP for every 5 to 15 kb, or approximately 3,000 markers per chromosome. What I'm going to do now is elaborate on cucumber, because that's the crop that I've been involved with, and you just heard some of the information that was gleaned from this data in the watermelon case. So cucumber originated in Asia, with primary and secondary centers of diversity thought to be in India and Southeast Asia. The India group is thought to be basal, maintains a large proportion of the genetic diversity, including the wild cucumber, Cucumis sativus variety, Hardwickii. What you can see here, I hope you can see the map, but if not, you'll have to imagine. So what we have here, green dot, is India. And what you're seeing here is the geographical distribution of the accessions that exist within the U.S. National Plant Germplasm Collection. So from the 1,234 accessions that were genotyped, we had an average of 677,000 reads per sample. The 1.23 billion reads were then aligned to the reference GY14 genome. From that, identified 23,500 biallelic SNPs representing minor alleles that met the following two criteria. We had data at that specific locus for at least 50% of the accessions, so for at least 637 accessions. And for each minor allele, it was present at least in seven independent accessions. This led to an average distribution of one SNP for every 10.6 kb. There were only eight regions for which we had gaps, and they were all centromeric or paracentromeric, as you might expect. And what you can see here, I'm not getting the arrow to work, is a fairly uniform distribution across the chromosomes. Okay, so taking that information, then, we could do a series of analyses, beginning with phylogenetic analysis. And phylogenetic analysis identified three major clades. We've got, We've got India and South Asia, we've got East Asia, and then essentially the entire rest of the world, Central and West Asia, Turkey, Europe, Africa, and North America. And consistent with India as the center of origin, we can see the deepest clades in the green, or India. So the differentiation into three primary clades was also reflected in PCA and K-means analysis. So once again, if you look at the PCA, the green would be India, and then a good differentiation between East and West is shown by the orange and red, and the same by K-means analysis. And this is consistent with the understanding that domestication and improvement of cultivated cucumbers occurred independently in the East Asia compared to other regions, likely due to differences in domestication priorities, as well as geographical isolation due to the Himalayan mountains. The distinction between East and West was further observed when we looked at diversity measures both within groups and between groups, suggesting that subsequent to domestication in Egypt, cucumber moved both east and west following distinct trajectories in each case, and that exchange between east and west could increase diversity available to breeders. So having this high-resolution data, we could also look at the major groupings. We could observe major subclades within the major groupings. So, for example, as you can see here, the circles on the green dots, we could see subclades within India that showed separation consistent with different geographic locations within India. In the case of East Asia, which is the orange at the top, we can see that Japan and South Korea clustered closely together with each other and distinct from the rest of the East Asian accessions, which were primarily from China. I was in China last week and talking to some cucumber researchers there, and they indicated that there actually was a distinction between North and South Chinese cucumbers, and that there had been the thinking that the Japanese and Korean cucumbers were a result of hybridization between the North and South. So that fits perfectly with what we're seeing here, where the Koreans and the Japanese are falling in between these two other groups. And so I'm anxious to go back and look and see, do those two other large groups of orange dots correspond to North and South in China? Another example where we saw divergence was in the Turkish accessions, and we could see that they clustered into two groups, again, distinct from each other. One group clustered with Central or West Asia, and the other with Europe. And if you go back and say, where do each of these PIs come from within Turkey, we can see the ones that clustered with Central and West Asia primarily came from the eastern part of Turkey, and those that clustered primarily with Europe came from the western part of Turkey, as we might expect. Another interesting observation was the division of North American cucumbers into two primary clades. One of them was primarily composed of pickling cucumbers, and the other of fresh market cucumbers. And of course, this is consistent with the sorts of breedings that's been going on within North America for the past 50 to 100 years, where those two groups of cucumbers were really treated almost as independent crops and breeding efforts, leading to genetic divergence. We can also use the high-density STIP markers to provide a powerful resource to identify QTL. So we could take advantage of historical data that were available for 600 to 700 accessions that had been collected for a variety of traits by Todd Wehner's group in North Carolina. Among the traits that they had collected were three disease resistances, shown here, anthracnose, downy mildew, and gummy stem blight. And in each case, we could identify genomic regions for which there was significant association between SNPs and resistance, suggesting potentially valuable QTL. As we look forward, future GWAS will be facilitated by deep resequencing of a core diversity panel to allow for higher resolution mapping. Our intent is to use the GBS data and crop knowledge to define a functional panel of accessions for each species to capture the majority of diversity present within that species, as well as including valuable sources of horticultural and disease resistance traits. So, for example, here we can use GenoCore analysis, and we can see that by the time you hit about 300 to 400 accessions, we can capture more than 95% of the diversity. So for cucumber, 354 accessions were selected, and an additional set of 43 historical varieties were added to provide key horticultural and disease resistance traits. So what I've just described to you for cucumber has gone on in parallel for all four of the species. So the GBS data collection as well as analysis, all of the crops are now in the process of selecting their functional panels and moving forward to do genomic resequencing of the selected groups of 300 to 400 with the intent of coverage at 10 to 20 fold in each case. From this, we will create seed stocks of the selected accessions, and the genotype data and seeds will be publicly accessible. The intent is that the functional panels will provide a set of diverse lines and their associated sequence data, SNP data sets, and genetic maps, and that these will be available for future phenotypic and GWAS analyses for any traits of interest. And with that, I'd like to thank all the members of the QCAP team who have been involved in developing this work. Thank you.
Questions, anyone? In that case, let me point out that Friday at 10 o'clock, there is a professional interest group workshop on genetics and genomics, and it's going to be on databases, starting with how to use Grin Global.
Although a lot of what I've covered here, I will be talking about there. So.
That's what I'm going to say, yeah. So be sure to show up then if you want to learn how to use this database.
Or you'll hear the same story again, in large part.
No more questions? Well, thank you.